Welcome. This is Jamie.
And this is Donna.
And this is episode number 210 of the Circus 71 podcast for the week of April 16th, 2024. Happy National Wear Your Pajamas to Work Day.
I really thought you were going to whip out Happy Remember to Pack Your Underwear Day.
That would have been great. Although it really should be Happy Birthday to Me Day, I think.
That is true, because your birthday will be the day that this drops, and then Andrew's will be Thursday.
Yeah. Also known as tomorrow in our world right now. I need to find, and Donna, if there is not an official Remember to Pack Your Underwear Day, I am going to declare that to be April 11th from here on out.
Put it on your calendar, please.
Or would it be officially April 10th, just for clarification?
Let's see. Looking at my calendar. Nope, the 11th would be correct.
Okay, April 11th. We don't need to go too into detail, but let's just say this holiday is in memory of Donna. Coming up on today's show, gift shops have been announced for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. Guest rooms are being refurbished at Port Orleans French Quarter. New discounts have been released, and in our main segment, we play another round of Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down. This is the Circus 71 Podcast. All right, Donna, before we get to the news, I was just checking through my calendar and hoping that April 11th, 2025 is a Tuesday. It is a Friday, so we'll have to keep that in mind.
Womp womp.
So anyways, on to the news. Two new stores have been announced for Tiana's Bayou Adventure in the Magic Kingdom. Disney recently shared the names and new images of two retail locations coming to TBA at Magic Kingdom. According to a post on the Disney Parks Instagram account, guests will soon be able to dig a little deeper into Tiana's story at the Critter Co-op and Tiana's Bayou General. The new images shared include the new images shared or that were shared, close-ups of signage for each store. The sign for Critter Co-op features recently revealed, Critters Rufus the Turtle and Apollo the Raccoon. The Critter Co-op replaces the former Briar Patch gift shop, which, Donna, is kind of interesting because I don't think, at least in photos that I've seen, they've actually removed the Briar Patch, or it looks like actually on some of them they may have. It just looks a little bit wonky. And the Critter Co-op replaces the former Briar Patch gift shop, as I just said. And Tiana's Bayou General advertises groceries, housewares, dry goods, and more. We're not really sure where this is officially, but it may replace the former Splash. Nope.
Wow. The first 2 minutes has been utter chaos with you trying to do this story.
Oh, I thought I was going to sneeze. The former Splashdown photos, where guests could see their ride photos from Splash Mountain and purchase more merchandise, which was always kind of a cute little shop.
Agreed.
I did enjoy that, but
it was hardly ever open toward the end.
Well, you know what? I don't know if they were refurbishing or just they closed half the store and it was behind a black curtain for a while. But yeah, that was always a cute little shop, and I really enjoyed that. But that's where we at least think that Tiana's Bayou General will be. But Don, I have to be honest. If you had me try and guess the name of the Splash Mountain gift shop where you exited, I don't know if I would have landed on Splashdown photos.
Fair.
Because, I mean, I would have gotten the Briar Patch out front.
Right.
But I don't think I could have named what that place was.
Anthony might have been able to because he notices everything. But that's a might. You know what? Hold, please. This is worth it.
Go ahead.
Dude, since we're recording during an earlier time, I'm just curious. Hey, Anthony, I have a question for you. Do you remember when Splash Mountain was open, what the name of that store was that we would walk through after we exit it?
No.
Okay, that's fine. I'm just wondering.
What was it?
Splashdown Photos. Oh. He says so sweetly, oh.
Well, that's fair. Yeah, I I couldn't name that, and I doubt Aiden would be able to.
We're talking about a kid here who, like, is like, oh, mama, that's not working on this attraction today.
Yeah.
So, like, the kid notices everything. So I was like, I wonder.
Well, you know what? I don't think there's real good signage anywhere of what the name of the place was. So
fair. And also, when you would walk through, where it did have the sign, because I can picture it now that you're telling me the name, was over the area where you would purchase your photo. It wasn't even, like, as you were walking through the store. You would have to have turned left towards those kiosks.
Which is such a, I don't want to say generic name, but almost like nondescript, that you wouldn't realize that's the name of the store, as opposed to, here are your photos from Splash Mountain.
I totally agree.
So, all right, from the Magic Kingdom, why don't we hop on over to Epcot?
All righty, so this was an interesting announcement. Met with, from what I read, some people super pumped and some people super not. So here we go. VI pass holder days to include restaurant Marrakesh Lounge and a Disney store discount. So I actually got, as a Disney Visa credit card holder, a 20% off Shop Disney coupon in the mail last
Disney
store, maybe Wednesday or Thursday. Oh, it's changed now?
A couple weeks back. It's no longer Shop Disney. They went back.
Okay,
to
I
Disney
missed that
store.
Happening.
Yeah.
Are they going to open locations again?
No, but it's not shopdisney.com. I'm pretty sure it's disneystore.com. They went back to the old brand.
But yeah, that's not something that falls in our housekeeping somehow.
Well, I know about it.
Such a jerk. In any case, I have gotten that coupon, and I thought, honest to God, I thought, like, that's kind of interesting that, you know, this is coming out when there hasn't been anything announced for the spring for the former VIP pass holder days that Jamie and I had kind of talked about last week in the show. So the thought was kind of there of like, ooh, Disney Visa card holder, but not like pass holder. This is interesting. Next day, this drops. So all Disney has shared about the pass holder exclusive lounge and discounts that will be available during the returning VI pass holder days this summer. So the pass holder lounge is going to return at restaurant Marrakesh, open from May 1st to June 18th from noon until 8 p.m. daily. As you guys probably remember, it has not operated as an actual restaurant since 2020. In 2021, it was an open seating area. And then in 22 and 23, it was the Florida Blue Medicare Lounge. So as the Passholder Lounge will offer complimentary snacks with water, a complimentary Passholder button, air conditioning, and mobile device charging, and some, quote, special friends, i.e. the characters, may also stop by. Each Passholder must be present and show their valid AP, linked Magic Band, Magic Band Plus, or Disney Magic Mobile Pass, and a government-issued photo ID to be eligible to enter the lounge. Jamie actually mentioned this last week on the show that last year it was kind of like that separate area that they had in the land pavilion. So instead of having it be on the front of the park, now it's going to be back in restaurant Marrakesh. And then Shop Disney coming in from May 5th to, Disney Store, whatever. May 5th to May 24th, annual pass holders can save 20% on purchases at disneystore.com. That's interesting to me, James. Of course, not May the 4th. They don't want any discounts on May the 4th. May the 5th through May the 24th.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I hadn't even made that that connection. It's an interesting thing. I'm all for this, obviously, as an AP. I do wish, similar to like the DVC lounge, that you could bring like a guest or two. I think that would be a nice little touch. And I mean, use it as a almost like a marketing thing. Like, hey, we offer these for pass holders. Join the program.
Sure.
I wish they had them. And I know this might be a little greedy. I wish it was in both ends of the park. Like, Morocco is so deep in the park. I wish they did. They kept that section in the land in the front of the park, and this in the back. But I'm going to have to check this out because, as we've said on the show before, I have never set foot inside of this building.
So I had gone during the Florida Blue lounge piece. It's not particularly, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think impressive is the right word, but there's not really much to look at. It's not like when the lounge had been in Akershus. Like, that was beautiful. That restaurant's so pretty. And they also really pared down the offerings from the previous year when it wasn't Akershus, but that was also part of the Florida Blue Lounge. The first year, Jamie, as you might remember from the Florida Blue Lounge, just me talking about it, you could literally eat like a small meal there. They had hummus, they had yogurts, they had fruit, they had, gosh, I feel like there's something else, something maybe with peanut butter, like could eat like a little meal there. And then when they brought it back to Marrakesh, it was like, here's water and here's water that we're going to cut up fruit in and call it like special water. And then here's like teas and coffees. And I don't even remember if there were snacks. Like that's how pared down it was.
Right. Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I'm surprised that it's not at the American Pavilion like it was previously, but that's Club 33. So obviously that wouldn't.
Correct.
Been. Yeah. So, no, definitely something I'm interested to check out. I do wish, as I said, they had that little, you know, add-on that, you know, you could bring a certain number of guests. But nevertheless, awesome to see. So, from Morocco to New Orleans, Disney guest rooms at Disney's Port Orleans Resort French Quarter are being refurbished starting this May. So, starting next month at Walt Disney World, some guest rooms at French Quarter will be under refurbishment. This refurbishment will last from May of 2024 through November of 2024. Disney has not shared if this is a soft goods update, which is more textile decor changes, or if it's a hard goods where it's a gut and replace, furniture, flooring, and the likes. You'll remember the Doubloon Lagoon pool and the Mardi Gras pool bar were recently closed for routine refurbishment at French Quarter. I'll say, Donna, we just stayed here in March. I mean, at this point, 3-4 weeks ago. And I would have never guessed or thought that a refurbishment was needed. So it's kind of interesting to see what it's going to be. If I had to guess, I think it's going to be more of a soft good, some decor changes. They did have some USB ports that I noticed. Current standard of USB-C ports, the smaller port. So it'll be interesting to see if they add them in. We did have the smart TVs. So that was interesting to see. So that is done. So I don't think it's a full gut, but I mean, who knows? I think this resort is beautiful. I think the room was really, really pretty. So I do hope that they maintain the character of the room and don't, you know, whitewash as we've seen a lot of the resorts go through.
You know what this means, Jamie?
I have to stay there again next year.
Price increases.
Yeah. But at this point, it's standard. I mean, it's built into the budget. It's going to increase every year. So, I don't know. It happens. But would you say French Quarter's more on the lower end of the moderate or sort of it the is. Middle?
No, it's low. It's the lowest usually.
Yeah. What would you consider highest? Is it Caribbean Beach, Coronado?
It is. Well, Tower, if you go Grandestino Tower, but I know it's all Caribbean, or excuse me, it's all Coronado Springs, but come on, like that's an entity.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as like entry level pricing, yes, Caribbean Beach is highest.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured. So, I don't know. I love French Quarter. I think it's stunning. It's beautiful. I can never really put my finger on it, but it just feels like a totally quaint town. Like, I am not at a hotel. I'm at a town, and I love that resort. If they ever open up DVC there, we're going to be buying it.
All right, fair enough.
So, all right, so from the French Quarter to all over.
New Walt Disney World hotel discounts for summer and early fall 2024, including a Florida resident and AP discount. So guests can save up to 30%, and of course there's asterisk there, on rooms at select Disney hotels when they stay 5 consecutive nights or longer, or save up to 25% on shorter stays. This offer is valid for stays most nights from July 8th to October 3rd, 2024. 2024. So the 30% off rooms, or, you know, again, up to 25% if it's a shorter stay, are all the ones that you would think would be there. The next tier down would be the Cabins of Fort Wilderness, Caribbean Beach, Fifth Sleeper, and King Bedrooms and Preferred Rooms, Coronado Springs, Riverside, French Quarter. Up to 20% would be all of your value resorts, with the exception of Art of Animation's Little Mermaid Standard Rooms, which you can save up to 10% on. And that is a rare inclusion, guys. Usually those standard rooms are completely excluded. And then Beach Club Resorts, Deluxe Rooms, Poly Village, and Polynesian Village, and Bungalows are all up to 10%. And Jamie looks very perplexed. Yes, sir. Do you have a question?
I do. Where's Art of Animation, the suites?
I would usually be in the top category. Let me look. Yeah, top category, up to 30% off.
Oh, gotcha.
Right under Kidani.
Okay, totally didn't see that. That's interesting. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah, but because the standard rooms are usually excluded.
Right. Now, I get that. It's just interesting because, I mean, any room at the Poly is 10%, and then AOA suites can be up to 30. I mean, that's pretty wild.
Yep. Welcome to Disney discounts.
Yeah.
And then, of course, remember, in addition to that, the other discount that came out was the Disney Visa card members with the free dining plan for a non-discounted four-night, four-day ticket package. And it has to be a hopper. And that's super limited dates. That's only July the 1st to the 31st, September 1st to 7th, and December 9th to the 21st. So you can't stack these. You can't say to Jamie or I, hey, can you get me one of those 30% off room discounts? And by the way, I'm a Disney Visa card holder. Let's get the free dining too. It's one or the other. And depending on where you're staying, it could actually end up, you know, coming into play on the price overall.
Yeah. I mean, if you're an annual pass holder, like you have to buy the 4-day hopper.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting. And although does it have to be a 4-day ticket, Donna, too?
It does. Okay, 4-day hopper. That was what we were talking about either last week or the week before, James, that at one point in time it was a 2-day ticket.
Right.
So that was something that annual pass holders could almost consider. The only people that would consider this would be anyone who is going to do something called bridging the ticket, which would be turning a 4-day ticket into an annual pass, but then you lose your annual pass renewal discount. So there's a lot of moving parts there that, truthfully, if an annual pass holder came to me and said, hey, Donna, what do you think? I wouldn't touch it. I would tell them that they're much better with their annual pass holder discounted rate and going from there.
Yeah. I agree. All right, Donna, let's finish up with something we kind of talked about early, a little bit differently earlier in housekeeping this week. Tiana's Foods delivery truck in Bayou Adventure Queue at Magic Kingdom. Yes, Donna, Tiana's Foods delivery truck in the Bayou Adventure Queue at Magic Kingdom. Yeah, because that totally fits in a 1927 truck with Frontierland next to horses and buggies and the like. Okay, did I say it? Am I good now? Blood pressure down?
I will really quickly say something that is tangentially related. Mm-hmm. And that is, at the agent education program I did a couple of weeks back, one of the agents that I was talking to a lot is actually from California. She lives very close to Disneyland. So the same way that I'm super local here, she's super local there. And she told me that was, to her, the single biggest disappointment, because their food, their Tiana, whatever their one is, theirs called, has opened. And she said it's terrible. She said that was such a disappointment for her. So I'm definitely hoping for all the foodies out there that the food truck is not god-awful.
Oh, Tiana's Palace, or, yeah, the restaurant.
Yes.
Yeah. Even in the what else I find really weird about this is they have all this wrought iron, or wrought iron, however you want to say it, in part of the queue, and then it literally bumps up to the Splash Mountain wood dividers that they had. I mean, it's such a crazy juxtaposition, and I hate this mural. I hate it. I hate it. It looks... I can't even go on. It just drives me crazy that both... And I'm going to say this until blue in the face. It drives me crazy that we couldn't have both. Like, Tiana's could be a great attraction, and the animatronics look awesome. that doesn't mean that it had to replace Splash Mountain. Both could have existed. And I think that's the frustrating thing. And I think that's why a lot of people have super high expectations for Tiana's Bayou Adventure. And if it goes the way of Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, taking out the Great Movie Ride, this is going to be a disaster. I hate what they're doing with Frontierland, because they don't exist in the same universe. It makes no sense.
The thing that's... what's the word I'm looking for?
Garbage.
Most. The thing that really does like boggle my mind the most is that Disney has mastered the art of storytelling. That's what makes their park so magical. And stuff like the Hatbox Ghost being placed before the ghosts materialize, and the lack of continuity, I guess is probably the best word, now in Frontierland because of this change, it's just not the storytelling that they're known for, and that's really disappointing.
Yeah, they don't follow their own canon at this point. Like your Hatbox Ghost point, I mean, that was shoehorned in because they couldn't make the electrical work or didn't want to. I mean, this being shoehorned in for Splash Mountain, it makes no sense where it is. I mean, and you can say Frontierland's going away and it's going to be New Orleans Square, and then Big Thunder Mountain's going to be desert themed and all this other hot garbage. They didn't have to do this. And it just, it's almost like an I don't care mentality, that the fans are just complaining to complain. Nobody else really cares enough. But you keep chipping away at that same concept and you cheapen your own brand, you don't become better than your competition. And that was something, to your point, that Disney always held in the highest standards. Storytelling, everything matters, sight lines. I mean, it really started when you could see the tangled toilets from in front of the Haunted Mansion. You know, yeah. The dumpster fire that is the show building for Cosmic Rewind. And even to a certain extent, Tron is an ugly building that you can see from most everywhere.
The canopy's cool, but the building itself.
The canopy's cool, but it doesn't cover, like, it's not Space Mountain cool, because Space right. Mountain covers the entire attraction. It's inside right. this building that looks awesome. Disney would never build Space Mountain now. Never.
Mm-mm.
We would get a square box like we have with Cosmic Rewind. So,
or the barges for Harmonious.
Or the barges for Harmonious, which, coincidentally enough, the luminous barges, when we were there in March, Donna, I don't think I got to tell you this, they weren't being pulled in and out every day. They stay in World Showcase Lagoon now. I don't know. It's disappointing. And I say this with DCL, and I will tell people this, there's a premium for Disney Cruise Line, 100%. It's worth it. Like, you get a premium product. I don't know how much longer I can say that about World with these changes. Now, I hope it's a good ride. I think it's going to attract people despite itself. I mean, it's going to have lines because of the ride system being good and lengthy. But I don't know. I don't know. We shall see.
In less than a month is my prediction. We will know.
Yeah, I think
one way or the other.
I think it opens early June. That's my prediction. May Labor Day week or Memorial Day, somewhere along those lines.
But yeah. I really think previews are going to be in less than a month. I could be wrong.
Yeah. No, I think that's fair. I definitely think that's fair. So, all right, Donna. Good discussion always. I appreciate it. Let's go ahead, take a quick break, and Aiden will introduce us for Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down.
Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down.
All right, Donna, and we are back. Another round of Thumbs Up, Thumbs Down.
And after you were such a turd to me last week, I think I actually had very fair thumbs up, thumbs down questions for you this week.
We shall see.
All right. So what do you want to talk about first? I got a good number of dining related things. I've got some big picture stuff, park specific. Where do you want to go?
Well, just in case we have a new listener, why don't we quickly explain the parameters? What is thumbs up, thumbs down?
Good idea. So this segment was born from disagreement, essentially, a little healthy disagreement. So we get to pose to the other person a scenario and say, usually straightforward scenario. And then the other individual gets to say if it's a thumbs up, they agree, or thumbs down, they disagree. And then the person who asked the question gets to say whether they are right or wrong.
All right.
All right. So back to my question. What are you in the mood for?
Always food.
Obviously. What was I thinking? All right. So here's one that all the times that I've known you guys to come down, and you do come down frequently, I have not heard a lot about you dining at Disney Springs. So I want your thoughts. If I am your client and I say, all right, you know, we want to check out Chef Art Smith Homecoming at Disney Springs, what do you say?
Homecoming's a major thumbs up. We've eaten there. It's fantastic. I would go, that's a
big picture. Dining at Disney Springs on a theme park day.
Can I specify it enough and say it was Animal Kingdom Day? I think there's other parameters to consider, and I'll get to an answer at some point. If it's Animal Kingdom and you're not going back, okay, I could see it. If it's Magic Kingdom and you might go back for the fireworks, okay. Would I leave and skip the fireworks? Probably not. I think there's such a time commitment that's involved with Springs. And man, traffic in that area is wild, as you know, Donna. I mean,
oh yeah,
that's a pain. Did we do a quick service? We must have. What did we eat recently? We were just there. Oh, we went to Deluxe Burger. Which I have to say was better than the time that we went. Yeah, I thought it was actually quite good. Really awful that for the adult platter, like, they don't include the fries. That's poopy to moo myself. But I mean, there are a lot of really good options. Homecoming's fantastic. And I've heard very good things about Eat, the new quick service there, and the On the Lakes, Springhouse. What is the name of that place?
Yes, correct.
It is
Springhouse. It's fairly new.
Springhouse, is that right?
Yes.
I've heard decent things about that as well. For me, it's the time. Oh, no, I take it back. We've done T-Rex, and years and years and years ago, we did, it was even before it was called Terralina Crafted Italian. It was Portobello's, that was our first trip. That was like 98. So in certain instances, I'd give it a thumbs up. I'm not going to say it's a thumbs down. I just think there have to be certain reasons as to why you would want to do that, especially if it's a theme park day.
Oh, dear Jamie, you must commit.
I'll go thumbs. I'll go thumbs up because I think there's a lot of good quality restaurants, but it's a very, very broad and could be turned into a thumbs down based on certain circumstances.
Wow.
I'm not a big Disney Springs fan. I think it's okay. I think the food is good, but
it's definitely an easier transition when at Disneyland or at Universal when talking about going to like City Walk.
100%.
So I think that the distance kind of comes into play there. Now, for me, I mean, this is a thumbs up because It's not typically my first time Disney visitor family that is talking about going to Disney Springs. It's typically a family that comes down every year or every other year that's talking about, you know, a different dining experience or something like that.
Yeah. And to further that point, I think I'm always jaded's probably the wrong word, but I always get have the clients that say things like, oh, you know, we won't go to a theme park that day. We'll just go to Disney Springs. I think a day there is way too much. Like, I would go crazy. I'd throw somebody into whatever, the Village Lake or whatever that thing is called.
Well, it's always funny when people think that they're going to, you know, save money.
Yep.
By not doing a theme park day and instead go to Disney Springs. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking like, okay, then your kids are going to want to do the carousel on the train. That's $5 a pop. Or they're going to do the Aerofield balloon. That's $20-some a pop. Or the amazing Amphicar that Gerald paid for Anthony to do for his birthday that one year. That's $100-some. Like,
Gerald, my birthday's next not week.
You wish. He likes the kid way more than he likes you or Andrew or me, probably. In any case, it's not necessarily going to be a cheap alternative to a theme park day, is I think the bottom line.
Yeah, no, I think that's totally fair. So can I say thumbs up with asterisks?
Sure.
All right.
All right, I'll give you one that'll be more straightforward. Again, in all the time that I've known you, I don't think I've ever seen you eat one of these snacks. Iconic Disney snack, Dole Whip.
Oh, I thought you were going to say turkey leg.
That's such a clear thumbs down.
We had one of them once. Donna, this is, you know, bad Disney fan Jamie here. You're talking the traditional Dole Whip, which is the pineapple. Is that right?
Pineapple.
Okay, because I love, what do we get all the time there? The orange cold serve or the orange twist. That's fantastic. I love that. I don't go out of my way for a Dole Whip because I think the orange, like the creamsicle, is better.
Mm-hmm.
I can't give it a thumbs down. I just like other things better. I mean, it's a great treat. I don't think I told you, speaking of this, Sunshine Tree Terrace, when we were there in March, we put in a mobile order, and there were people that waited 40 minutes, and it never registered.
Like,
we were a good 20, 25 minutes, and finally it just went to the window, and they were showing it and giving it to people. But yeah, that was a colossal failure. But on a hot day, it's a good treat. I like the orange better, but it's not a thumbs down for me.
When Steph and her family were here for Anthony's birthday in October, we did Magic Kingdom. And then, I don't know, maybe about 6:30, Rylan, my goddaughter, you know, a little over a year old, was done. Anthony was done. Gerald had to leave because there was like a soccer game or there was some, I think
he was done.
Probably soccer. Yeah, he was done too. So they all went out, you know, headed out. So Andrew and Brad left with our littlest kids and Gerald left. So it was me, Steph, and her older daughters. So it was me, Steph, Brooke, and Paige. So we were going to do the fireworks and we did dinner. Oh, you know what? It was before dinner they left then because I remember it was just the four of us at dinner. And then it was like later in the evening, I think we went on something right after the fireworks and we were walking by Sunshine Tree Terrace. I was like, hold on, girls. Antana's got to get you one more thing. And I got them Dole Whip, and we have great pictures with Orange Bird behind us on the building. Like, just a really fun memory. And like, I was like, you have to have this because neither of them remembered being in Magic Kingdom. Paige was only two last time they were here, and Brooke was only four last time they were in the park.
Okay.
So neither of them have any. So I wanted that to be part of their memory of their first time they remember being at Magic Kingdom. So we did the Dole Whip, did that iconic snack, and, you know, we're all hyped up on all the sugar when we were heading out of the park and whatever, 10 something at night. This is a thumbs up. Like you said, it's not something that I go out of my way to order every single time we're there, but it's really, really nice on it, especially on those hot nights.
Yeah. No, I agree. I like the orange better, but it's certainly not a thumbs down.
All right. Here is one that is polarizing amongst Disney foodies. Polite Pig at Disney Springs.
I've heard good things about it. We've actually never done it.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, never did. And we thought about that when we were there in March, but ultimately wanted to mobile order deluxe burger. Now, granted, we were there during, you know, essentially the week before Easter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that line was out the door to the stairwell coming out of whatever, the Lime Garage.
Yes.
I need to learn the garages better.
That is Lime.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Sorry, I thought Peyton just took a header, but she's okay.
Oh my gosh.
So I can't answer because I don't know.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll table that one. I'm going to literally...
What's the correct answer according to you?
Good. So I would say thumbs up. It's the style barbecue that we like. It's not super, super thick cuts, or at least what we got wasn't like super, super thick cuts of meat. It wasn't completely slathered that you like couldn't taste the meat beneath the barbecue sauce. We enjoyed it. We've only done it once because we've only eaten at Polite Pig once because we usually eat at table service at Springs. But
would you think it's better than Regal Eagle?
Yes.
Okay. I've heard good things. So, you know, maybe the next time.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Next one. I think I have one more food one. Ready?
Okay.
This is one that I'm not sure if you guys have done, so you might have to talk about it conceptually versus actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
Eating in the lounge versus eating inside of the actual restaurant. So you can't get a reservation for Steakhouse 71, so you decide to eat in the lounge instead. That's probably the worst example on Disney property because you can literally walk up anytime in Steakhouse 71, but you know what I'm saying.
That's funny. And I would say Steakhouse 71, I mean, I don't think there's a big difference between the restaurant and like that lounge bar area. Because, I mean, you can see into the restaurant, so you're not missing anything. I would say thumbs down. And here's my reasoning why from a concept. I think it would be a better experience and you would enjoy it better to not do it and try and get a reservation on a different trip, especially with us having, you know, DVC APs, like, you know, that's a little bit more AP perspective. And just trying to get the full experience another time, as opposed to sort of the half experience.
Okay. That's fair. This is definitely not something I would ever suggest for a family with littles. It's just too questionable. You know, are you going to be seated? Da, 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 da. It's not even something that I love for adults because in my limited experience doing this, but this was all pre-Anthony, it really depended on the bartender, how good your service was. Andrew and I are not big like alcohol drinkers. So we would sit down and we would order a drink, but we're not going to be, you know, it's not going to be hit me again. It's, can I have a glass of water?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So we found that people who were sitting like actively drinking, okay, I finished this, now I'm going to try this type thing, got better service than Andrew and I, who got one drink, or Andrew got a soda and I got a sangria. And then we asked for water type thing. So I think it depends on your situation. You know, so this in general to me is a thumbs down.
Yeah. And you know what, Donna? I'm going to go thumbs down because I don't know if I've ever actually done it. I don't think I've ever.
Again, I wouldn't do it with the kids.
No. I mean, even pre, I'm trying to think, like Val may have gotten a drink at the Tune In Lounge before we went to primetime once. But I mean, I've never been in the Nomad and people rave about that place. Even like non-attached to a restaurant lounges like Cruise Cup and things like that. I don't think we've ever done.
Okay, well, that you need to try because that's a totally different experience. Yeah. But in general, eating at the lounge attached to a restaurant, I would do a thumbs down.
We tried to get into Trader Sam's once. Of course. Couldn't get into the main and we had a drink outside or something. But that's it.
Yeah.
Huh. We should just create our own lounge, like hang outside a Be Our Guest restaurant and just drink.
God, could you imagine? Except for the fact that beer gets to the restaurant, where are you getting your alcohol there, buddy? All right, next up. Genie Plus having a sliding scale versus, you have to hear me out,
okay,
Disneyland being a flat rate fee when added in advance. So the reason I'm asking you this is because we know, in theory, sometime in 2024, as per Disney, the ability to pre-select, you know, Genie Plus experiences will be coming, which means we have to be able to buy Genie Plus in advance, which means they have to make a decision about if it's a sliding scale or if it's $25 or if it's $35 or what it is. If it's going to be comparable to Disneyland, $25 per person per day to add it, sliding scale if you add it that day, or what they're going to do. So what are your thoughts on a Genie Plus sliding scale?
Genie Plus isn't variable in Disneyland.
Not when you add it in advance. When you add it in advance, it's $25 per person per day. If you add it that day, it can be.
I mean, Genie Plus in general is a thumbs down. I think the biggest problem with Genie Plus is they went for this middle marker with this variable pricing. I think they should either price it like Universal Express Pass, where it's $200 per person per day. I know it will cannibalize VIP, but whatever, or make it free. Like the whole $20 microtransactions is the worst thing from a guest experience perspective that they could do. You're slowing down standby, you're getting marginal, you know, revenue that probably could be more if it was way more expensive. So, but with that said, with the variable pricing, I guess I have to go thumbs up from the side of, like, I mean, when you need it more, it's more expensive. I mean, it makes no sense to have it expensive when you don't need it, from both a practical and business standpoint. I would have to go thumbs up. I mean, thumbs down entirely on Genie Plus, because I think it should be $0 or $200. But in terms of specific with the variable pricing, yeah, it makes sense. I'd go, if you're going to do it with your tickets, you might as well do it with Genie Plus. There's no difference.
So I will disagree with you on this one, because I think it's going to make a already ridiculously complicated thing that much more complicated. If we are then saying, okay, your tickets are X number of dollars, and if you buy your tickets for this starting this day, then your Genie Plus will be this much on this day, this much on this day, this much on this day. I think it's just going to become like a whole, even more of a holy crap Batman than it is currently. Whereas at Land, yes, they have variable pricing on tickets, but when you add Genie Plus in advance, it's $25 per person per day, period, end of discussion.
Yeah, but I would slightly disagree with your point there, because we're, as travel agents, taking that perspective, we're going to give the client X number of dollars. You know, it's, and I'm just making math easy, it's $100 per person per day for your, let's just forget the per day. It's $100 for, you know, Donna to go to whatever, Disney World for a week. If you want to add on Genie Plus for that week, it's going to be an extra $75. We've already taken the math per day out of the equation, because I don't think with the pre-planning, it's going to be, you can pre-plan, choose by day. I don't think you're going to be able to do Monday or Wednesday. It's going to be an all or nothing. So the variable pricing wouldn't be seen on the guest's end.
Fair. That is fair, because you are right. At least for Disneyland, if they keep it the same way, it was an all or nothing. So when we were buying our tickets, or when I'm buying tickets for guests, it was, okay, it's this much with this much without.
Yeah, so I don't think it confuses people. I just think it's a crappy system. It's a crappy way of doing it. So, but on
fair terms enough.
Of variable, if you're trying to make money, like, you charge more when on New Year's Eve than you would on September 16th. Like that, I can't say that sucks, because you'd be an idiot. It's logical.
Yeah. All right. Okay, next one. This is going to be an interesting conversation.
Okay.
Client comes to you and they say, we have a week or nine, I guess we'll say 9 days to be fair, because weekend, and then, you know, 5 days in the weekend to vacation. Mm-hmm. We want to do a land and sea vacation in that time. What do you say?
Assuming it's DCL?
Correct.
Okay. Disney Cruise Line for anybody who's confused.
I mean, it really doesn't matter. Land and sea, period, end of discussion. I mean, whatever.
Well, if it wasn't a Disney, I may have a different answer. Nine days. So you'd probably, let's say, split it 4 and 4. I think it's a thumbs up for people who, let's, and using Disney World, have been there a lot. Because I don't, you know, when we did it with Aiden and Peyton 2 Augusts ago, I wouldn't say that was a thumbs down. You know, it's obviously more expensive to do it that way. But, yeah, I mean, DCL is awesome. It's amazing. I don't necessarily have an issue with that. The one downside that would have to be weighed out is, as you know, once you get past that fourth day of tickets to add on per day, it's a lot cheaper. So I think that's something to weigh out with maybe they add it on the dining plan or, you know, what hotel they're staying at and really do that cost analysis. But on the surface, thumbs up.
This one is a much deeper conversation with me and clients because of tons of different factors. So if you do World first, you can take the transfer to your cruise vessel, which is really quite convenient. You don't have to fuss with a port arrival time and every other thing. So that makes things really nice. It also allows you to have the, you know, a super crazy fun 4 days at Disney World and then jump on a cruise and kind of relax a little bit more, because I would recommend it in that order if you can. Absolutely. Theme park and then cruise. But I will say it's a lot to kind of wrap your head around, because we've done it. We've done, you know, Alaska, and I know this is an extreme, but we did an Alaska cruise where we're packing winter coats and winter clothes. And then we did Disneyland kind of, air quote, on the way home. And we literally, Jamie, like, we had 2 different suitcases. One suitcase was for the Alaska cruise for 7 nights, and one suitcase was for Disneyland. Because you just, it's a lot. And then it's a lot to like, okay, I need this and I need this and I can't forget this. And this is this time and this is for this and this is for this. So it's a lot. So it's not something I would recommend, even if you do all DCL all Disney and did, you know, World and then DCL as opposed to World and then like a Royal Cruise or Norwegian or something like that out of Canaveral. Yes, it's all vacation, but it's very different and there's a lot of nuances of each one. So I would recommend it. It would be a thumbs up, but with, as you said, for number one, several asterisks. We have to have a really big conversation about the ins and outs of it.
Yeah. It's not a stinker of an idea for sure.
All right, Jamie, we are at 24 minutes. I have 4 more. You want to knock out 1 or 2 more and we'll see where we are?
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. All right, man, how do you feel about matching shirts?
are they Under Armour branded? I would say, it really depends on the shirt. The whole family vacation or whatever, or family reunion, I don't have an issue with. Hell, if it gets kids off of leashes, I'm all for it. wear some neon green. I don't think it needs to be done over all the time. I really hate the most expensive day ever shirts.
Yeah.
It's super annoying. It's not funny.
I gave her the G.
Yeah, that's just disgusting and has no, shouldn't be there. So I think if it's tasteful, tactful, and not overdone, thumbs up. Like, my mom made shirts for us in we wore them for a photo shoot. Like, I don't necessarily see an issue with that. Or, like, if you're celebrating, you know, it's somebody's birthday, and, you know, I think that's fine. It really depends on the shirt. And like I said, you don't need one for Animal Kingdom and Epcot. And you know what? The whole drinking around the world and Epcot drinking team and things like I'm kind of over them too. You know, not to be a huge...
Didn't Val have one of those shirts on the other day?
I didn't... Well, she had on... It was a little more tasteful because I don't think... I don't know if it said drinking around the world, but it was like Epcot World Tour. So it had like all the cities... And I think I saw the drinking later, but it like some of them, the matching shirts are like where you put the check mark in.
Check mark. Yeah.
Like it's still a theme park, you know, it's still Disney World. And I mean, just going to Epcot to get blasted. I don't know. Those types of shirts, I'm not as big a fan on. Although I actually really like the one that Val had just because of the design. I thought that was cool.
I love them. We don't necessarily do like, I mean, I made shirts for everyone when we went for Anthony's first Disneyland trip and Tim and Lauren Gerald's first Disneyland trip. So they all had shirts on that I made that said my first trip to Disneyland, and Andrew and my shirt said their first trip to Disneyland.
Yeah.
So it was really similar, but you know, theirs said my, ours said their, but they were different colors. So like not everyone was wearing the same color, which is the same design. Or like one of my favorite pictures right here on my desk is a picture of Andrew wearing Mr. Incredible Super Dad. So it's a Mr. Incredible shirt. And Anthony's wearing like an Incredible logoed t-shirt.
Well, I mean, I can't think of another occasion where I would go and say, let's all match and wear the same shirt. I just,
yeah.
Like, unless you're playing Little League, I don't, where does, like, even, we don't go to the Phillies and have the same shirt on. I just, it's a mind thing. I don't know how that trend even started.
It's just so funny because I have a client, I don't believe she listens to the podcast, but if she does, hello, Natalie. And her husband is a cop, and he's like the definition of like, he's like tough. Like he's Spanish speaking, and he's like, you know, muscular and like a big dude. And in every single family picture that she posted when they just got back from their trip a few days ago, he's standing there with this big grin on his face, like big cheeser grin, wearing the same shirt that his wife and his kids are wearing.
Yeah. And I should amend, I thought of this as we were talking. One other time I did sort of matching shirts was for Mickey's Not So Scary. I made, we were all fast passes.
Like, right, because you made one for me and Andrew.
Oh, right. I forgot about that. Mm-hmm. What do you remember what your attraction was?
Oh, I think Andrew got Toy Story Mania.
Okay.
And I think mine was Space because I think you had Splash.
Maybe. I may have given my mom Splash because she likes... That was always her favorite. I don't know what I did, but... Yeah, that was one other example that I thought of. And that's totally fine. I mean, that's purposeful. So go ahead. One more you got?
I've got three more, and I'm trying to decide which one I want to do that's not going to set you off on a tangent. All right, let's do this one, because this is pretty straightforward. Bubble wands. Thumbs up or thumbs down?
Thumbs up. You know, some of them are really well-designed. Aiden and Peyton... I mean, we have some of them. They really like them. And you know what? If you're a person who gets annoyed by a kid with a bubble wand, get the hell out of the park. I mean, it's that adds... And you see the parents that genuinely care about kids' behavior. Like, oh, I'm so sorry. Turn it off. And I'm like, let them spray. Whatever. It adds to the atmosphere. Like, it. No, totally thumbs up.
No, we love them too. And Tim will get them for Anthony at Cast Connection.
Yeah.
Because they'll bring them there when literally, Jamie, I'm not kidding, when they run out of batteries or bubbles, they end up at Cast Connection on like super clearance.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, they're overpriced, but
of course.
No, they're fantastic.
No, super, super fun. I agree. I didn't know if you were gonna be a curmudgeon about that one. So I'm quite pleased because you were going to get told, oh, this is a big thumbs up.
No, huge thumbs up. That's a atmosphere thing. And yeah, if you get pissed off by a kid with a bubble wand and they're not throwing it on the ground or something, you need to re-examine what you're doing at the parks.
You know what I saw on social media the other day in relation to atmosphere type things? and I don't know if this is true because obviously everything you see on social media is not true, but I saw someone post that if you bring a balloon, because you're not allowed to have balloons in Animal Kingdom, but if you bring a balloon like toward the front gate, that they will literally take it from you and quote babysit it for the day and like staple a cute thing on it that talks about like how it was babysat and like what it did during the day.
I believe that's true. That I know for a fact they'll watch it. But I don't know about the note part. That's news to me. I'm not saying right or wrong, but I'd never heard that before. But yeah, I did hear about leaving the babysitting the balloon. I don't know where they do it.
Probably in the back room where you used to do package pickup, Jamie.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right. Well, I think that's all for this week. Yeah?
Sounds good.
All right. Next week, I believe we're starting our Epcot deep dive. Don't hold me to that because I clearly don't have the document up on my screen, but I do believe that is what we discussed. Thank you guys so much for listening. As always, we hope you have a great week and we'll see you real soon.
That's all, folks.